Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Sarah Suk, the author of Made in Korea, which is a YA rom-com about two teens selling Korean beauty products at school. I live in Vancouver, Canada, where I was born and raised. Other than a brief window of time where I lived in Seoul, South Korea, once during university and once after, I've been here in Canada my whole life.
Oh my gosh. So you're very familiar with the K-beauty product. You know, and the K-pop and the whole
that Korean culture, pop culture, I guess I should say, specifically for this book. Yes, very familiar, love it, have always loved it.
So talk to us about the whole, because I think it's a whole brand new world. Like, I'm familiar because I was in New York and I went to Koreatown, and like I did enjoy some face masks, but I'm not as like fiend as these high schoolers who are like buying them like it's like in contraband, you know? So talk to me about that whole culture and like the whole world of Korean beauty, K-beauty and K-pop and
Yeah, it's definitely a huge culture for sure. I remember living in Korea and going shopping and there would just be like blocks and blocks of makeup stores. And it's such a huge, you know, I don't even know if this is the right word, but movement, I want to say, like this whole movement. I will say though, for K-beauty, it's interesting because I personally don't use a lot of K-beauty products. Mm-hmm. I have a skin condition called eczema. So I have really sensitive skin, can only use stuff that the dermatologist recommends. And because of that, I can't experiment with a lot of different products, but this book was kind of like my way of using different K-beauty products without actually using them. So yeah. I did a lot of research on that and just kind of, you know, diving into the world of like the 10-step skincare routine and all the different scented things and non-scented things and floral things and food theme things there are. It really opened my eyes. And also to see like the collaboration between a lot of K-pop stars and K-beauty products was very interesting for me to learn about as well, because there's so much crossover too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was that West job was like basically K-pop lip balms and face masks, you know? So it was like, it's a different business altogether, as he pointed out.
It's so different. And, you know, as a huge, I would say from a personal standpoint, I'm more familiar with the K-pop world than the K-beauty world. But, you know, in high school, I was like such an avid fan of so many groups that at that time, had they had their own lip balm line, I would have like bought everything. I would have bought all their stuff, even though I couldn't use it. I would just like buy it all and like display it on a shelf or something.
Yes, I love this. I felt like it was just like a good immersion of this world and like seeing, like, you know, seeing in a sense of like, you know, like how it can be like Americanized. It's an American high school, but they're entrepreneurs and they're like, you know, we're importing, we're distributing, you know, products that are like, they're a high commodity that people want to have, you know. And so, like, exploring a culture about Korean culture, like K-pop and K-beauty, and even, you know, the whole world that's out there.
For sure. It's very interesting because, like, obviously right now, Korean pop culture, such as beauty products and dramas and music, is so popular. And in, as you said, in such high demand. But when I was in high school or even elementary school, high school, that kind of time period, like nobody really liked that kind of stuff. And I remember loving K-pop and showing my friends all these like K-pop things. And they were like, what is going on? Like, why are you showing me this? So in a way, it was very gratifying for me to write about Korean culture and Korean products and Korean music and Korean things just in a book, that it's celebrated and it's kind of cherished in that way. So that was really cool. And also I loved obviously seeing Korean American characters kind of like take advantage of it for themselves and like capitalize on it to fulfill their dreams, you know.
Yeah, they capitalize it. They're like, oh, we're making money. We're like, I need to make money to go to school or college or parents or something. Like, I'm just gonna start, like, I get these for free, I'm gonna resell them.
You know? Innovative, they're using what they have, so you know.
So I love this. So let's see, what made you decide to write a YA book? Did you read YA growing up, or like, or even recently? Are you a YA reader, or were you just like, you wanted to explore first, and YA setting seems to be a good place to write a book?
I would say I am definitely a YA reader and have always been a YA reader. I don't think when I was growing up, I don't think I was familiar with the term YA. I think it's maybe a little bit newer in that. However many years. But growing up, I did love all the stories featuring kids and teens, so what we call today middle grade and young adult. I definitely gravitated towards those stories when I was that age, and even when I wasn't a kid anymore or a teen anymore, I did find that I went back to those stories a lot, or they stuck with me a lot because they were the ones that shaped me. And I just love stories for youth because I feel like it really opens up the world. Like when you read these books, it feels like it opens up the world in a way that's fresh and new. It feels like your first time stepping out of your comfort zone, or your first time seeing who you could be. And I think that Kid Lit really offers that in such a unique and kind of a wondrous way. Like it really opens your eyes to the wonder in the world. While also sometimes being able to tackle really difficult subjects too, and harder things about life. And I've always appreciated that about this age group.
I love this. And so you wrote a rom-com. So I got to ask questions. The woman's reader, were you a rom-com fan? Like, what was your favorite go-to rom-com? Was it films? Was it books? Or like, where did you get your rom-com inspiration?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I love rom-coms. I think I've always loved rom-coms. They're so much fun. I remember, I guess, as a teenager, I remember reading The Princess Diaries a lot. Like, that's one example that comes to mind that I really enjoyed. Obviously, in terms of movies, I really loved 10 Things I Hate About You. I think it kind of stands out to me as like a classic rom-com that I loved. And I still love watching rom-coms and reading rom-coms today. Like, one of the rom-coms that I read in the past year that I love is Today, Tonight, Tomorrow by Rachel Lynn Solomon. I think it's just such a great YA rom-com. It takes place at the end of senior year and is a 24 hours enemies to lovers scavenger hunt in Seattle. Like, it's just so much fun. And I think rom-coms are just, even though you know that it'll be a happily ever after most of the time, unless it's a very subversive book or movie, even though you know, like, it's still such a journey to figure out, like, how does it happen? And, you know, to see the two characters banter with each other, like when their hands kind of touch for the first time and you're like, oh my God, did their fingers just touch right now? Like, what's happening? And I love that tension. I think it's so much fun. And I love that it's kind of shed in like a funny light, like a funny, jokey, comedic light too, which I think is just such an enjoyable ride. When I watch a rom-com, it's like over in like 10 minutes, I feel.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm like a huge fan of rom-coms. And I love the resurgence of, like, we're seeing them in YA, you know, like all these like cute rom-coms are happening. You're like enemies to lovers, or like little first, or like really heightened emotions. And you take to the journey and then you see like, you're gonna be fine. They're gonna be together, and it's just happy for now. Like, we're not expecting them to get married. Like, that's like a little too much, but we're expecting them to be like together first year of college, you know? Like, it's kind of cute.
It's very cute. Definitely very cute. Are you also a big fan of rom-coms and movies and things?
Yes. Yes, I have to say, like, I grew up in the 90s, and so the 90s were a good year, like a good decade for rom-coms. Like, you know, we got 10 Things I Hate About You, we got Never Been Kissed, And so, like, there's so many good Pretty Women. Like, there's so many good ones. So, and there's some good ones that are coming up. And Netflix has been doing a good job of putting rom-coms,
Yes.
in the open. So I'm like grateful for Netflix, but I'm like, I wish we had like, regular movies I can go to see. Although I wouldn't go to a movie now, but in the future, I would like to go
Yes.
see a big movie, big screen movie, and it'll be a rom-com.
Yes, I will be also in the theater one day when we're able to. And I used to never really get popcorn in movie theaters, but now after COVID and everything, I'm like, I'm gonna get the popcorn. I'm gonna get Twizzlers. I'm gonna get everything. I'm gonna sit there and enjoy every single second of this movie in a theater. I really can't wait for that day.
Yeah. Yes, me too. So let's see. So what is something that sparks joy? Like whether a hobby, a passion, whether it's writing, reading, or something else, that you just like do it because it feels like fun and you feel like the time flies by when you're doing it.
I mean, obviously writing and reading are both very strong passions of mine, but outside of that, I also really enjoy photography. I love taking photos. I especially love film photography, and that started for me in high school when I took a film photography class. So I learned how to use the dark room. So we all got like a stack of photo paper, and we got to develop the rolls of film ourselves and go into the dark room and make our prints and drop them into the developer and see the image like slowly appear. So that was a lot of fun. I had such a great time in that class, and I haven't been able to find a dark room that I can use since then. But I still have a film camera that I like to use. I just get it developed at a store that does it. But it's so much fun going on photo walks and taking pictures. And I think it offers me a way to notice details that I wouldn't otherwise. So often, if I'm just on my phone or just walking and hurrying to get to the next place, then I just miss so much of the world around me. And I love how photography makes me slow down and kind of see all the details of things. So, yeah, film photography specifically, but I also just love like snapping on my phone or just whatever I have on me.
I love this. I think film photography can be kind of like a surprise. Like I just remember getting those disposable cameras and taking them in college and taking a bunch of pictures and then like dropping them off and be like surprised at like what comes up. 'Cause you don't remember. You're not like this instant gratification, like what did you just do? And you have like all these pictures, you're like, oh, I did not realize I took a picture of so and so, or oh my gosh, this is like another picture that I didn't realize I had,
Definitely. I love that part of film photography just because, like, you have to finish the whole roll before you get it developed. And it's such a surprise sometimes because if you don't take it every day, then sometimes you have photos from like months back, and then you look back on it and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot that happened. I forgot that I took a photo of that. And it's like almost like a little mini time capsule in your camera. So I really love it. It's such a surprise. Also, sometimes disappointing when a photo that you're really excited about like doesn't turn out at all, and you're like, oh, that was very disappointing, but at least I have it in my mind as a memory.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's true. I love this. Oh my gosh. And so I take you're good with Instagram, like taking pictures or.
I do love Instagram. I like how it offers a platform to share photos and also to connect with people like globally, which is really cool. So yeah, I do love Instagram. Probably spend way too much time on it though.
Same here. Same here. It's one of those things. I'm like, but I like all the pretty pictures. So I feel you. So what has been the process of writing in the pandemic? Has it been easier, harder, or just basically nothing has changed, or everything has changed, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm ready for this to be over.
Oh, nothing has changed and everything has changed is such a good way to put it for me in a way. Yeah, I think that in the nothing has changed side of things, my work has not been affected at all, so I can still write from home, and that's great. I have a few other side jobs that I do as well, but they're all online, so that's great too. So in terms of that, I'm very thankful that my job hasn't been affected and that my home can accommodate me doing all this work. So in that sense, nothing has changed, and I'm very grateful for that. in terms of the everything has changed, obviously globally everything has changed, and it's such a mental battle every day, it feels like, almost, depending on the day. Like, there's good days and bad days, it feels, but I will say for myself, it is a mental battle sometimes to just sit down and write and to engage creatively in that way all the time when so much is going on outside and globally, and yeah, and like quite grim news all the time, like every time you turn on the news. So that, I think, has been hard to focus, more so than in previous years for myself personally. Yeah, and I miss writing in cafes and libraries and, you know, and going on writing dates. I have a few writing friends in the city and we would meet up, you know, get a tea, do some writing. And I do really miss that. And I look forward to that a lot. So I would say nothing has changed and yet everything has changed.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like life has changed in many ways, but there, other stuff is still the same. Like, and then it feels like Groundhog's Day. Like, every day is the same. Like, I don't know what day it is. Like, is it a Monday? Is it a Friday? Like, you know, because we're not going anywhere. Like, you know, we're not doing all the exciting stuff, like going out and do this, do that. Like, you may go for a walk every day and you're like, oh, it's the same thing, you know?
Yes, it's so true. And I think that has been so challenging in a way, to feel like you wake up in the morning and then you do work in your home, and then you take a break in your home, and then you have dinner in your home, and then you sleep in your home. And so there's no real sense of differentiation, I guess, in your day, and they all kind of bleed together. So in that sense, I think it is, again, back to kind of like the mental battle. Like, I don't know if we were meant to just live one long day. And that's very much what I feel like 2020 and 2021 has felt like. It almost felt like one long day. So that is a weird way to think of it. But at the same time, life keeps rolling in different ways and life keeps moving along. So yeah, it's always kind of, I think, a push and pull for me in terms of trying not to get sucked too deep into the kind of the spiral of COVID grimness, because it does get very grim and very heavy very fast. But, you know, at the same time, trying to acknowledge and make space for the fact that it is a hard time for everybody, and it's okay to feel weighed down by that too. So I think it's just kind of a mix of holding both the heaviness and the gratitude for the way that things are still moving along the way they are.
Yep. I agree. Oh my gosh. I can't wait till we get the vaccine and get all the places and we'll have the roaring 20s, you know. That's like the one bright light is, like, you know, it happened 100 years ago and they didn't have the internet. So they had it even worse 100 years ago. So at least we got Zoom and we got the internet and we got takeout and, you know, all these different things. And so, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, I can't imagine what it would be like to have to quarantine without having any texting or Zoom or FaceTime or anything like that. Like, I can't imagine what that would have been like.
Yeah, I feel for them.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
So let's see. Oh, let's talk about Made in Korea. So we talked briefly about it, but let's do the elevator pitch. What should our audience to expect about reading your book?
Yes. So Made in Korea is a YA rom-com about two teens selling Korean beauty products at school and going head to head to outsell each other, but maybe falling in love along the way. Maybe, just maybe. I don't know.
It's a bit enemies to lovers for those fourth years you're looking to.
Yes.
Rivals, opposites attract, banter.
Yeah, all that good stuff that I love that I mentioned. Although I will say that Valerie and Wes, who are the main characters, I don't know if they ever really hate each other's guts. I would say they're more so like rivals, business rivals to maybe potential lovers. But they do kind of follow along that same trope around, like, we shouldn't, but should we?
Yeah. The tension is there. You're just like, they should just get it over with, talk to each other. And you're like, no, they're like, no, we're not doing this, we're going our way. Because they're like really, Valerie was very like strong. She was a strong heroine. She was like, oh no, I'm not letting you like compete me, you know, like, so.
Yeah, very strong will, knows what she wants and doesn't want anyone to stand in her way. And yeah, and I think there's also for her a level of like a pride thing. So her K-beauty business was set up first, and West Jung is the new kid in school who kind of is competing with her for the throne for the best Korean beauty business in their class. So there is probably a sense of pride there, like, excuse me, that's my throne. Don't touch it. Don't touch that crown. That's mine. So, you know, she knows what she wants and she's there to protect it.
Yes, she does. I love this. So everyone should pick up the book and read it. Enjoy it. And enjoy some Shark Tank, you know, competitions. And lovely, like some good rivals to lovers, you know, romance.
Yes, definitely. Definitely pick it up if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what are you working next?
What am I working on next? So I don't tend to share too much about what I'm working on while I'm working on it, but I will say that what I'm currently working on is another YA, but it's quite different in tone than Made in Korea. So it's not a rom-com, but I hope that people who enjoyed Made in Korea will still find things to enjoy in it. It's a lot more family-centered, I would say.
I love it. Oh, I'm so excited. So let's chat some book recommendations. What has been a book that you read this past year or last year or at some point that you can't stop thinking about, can't stop gushing about, and you're like, oh my gosh, everyone should read this book?
Oh yeah, I read so many good books lately, I feel. But off the top of my head, the most recent books I read, there's two of them that I'll talk about. One is The Silence of Bones by Jun Her, which is a YA Korean historical murder mystery. Yes, I saw your eyes just get bigger. That was me. Even I was holding the book every page, my eyes were just like getting bigger because there was just so much. There were like these plot twists and it was so atmospheric and very beautifully written, so I would definitely recommend that. And then the other book that I recently read was actually a memoir. It's called Know My Name by Chanel Miller. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's about the Chanel Miller. She wrote about her experience being sexually assaulted on the Stanford campus back in, I want to say 2015. I'm sorry if that's incorrect. Yeah. But yeah, she wrote a memoir about it. And it's just, it's so powerful. It's such a powerful book. And her writing is just very brilliant, I want to say. I can't think of another word to describe it, really. It's just really brilliant and well written and just straight from the heart, it feels like. Very like raw and vulnerable and strong. And it also offers such a deep look into the kind of the corruption and the cracks in the justice system, the criminal justice system. Them and how it runs. So obviously it's a lot of heavy material because it deals with sexual assault, so it could be, you know, that's a kind of like a content warning for some, but for those who are able to pick that up or want to pick it up, I would really recommend that one. It's a very powerful book.
I love this, and you should follow her on Instagram. She does like the best like and suppose like little doodles, and like they're really touching and they're really timely, you know, where we are.
Yes, I just started following her after I finished the book, actually, and it's just like she's so like poignant, and yeah, she's so like the way that she sees the world and interprets it into her writing and her drawings, I think will resonate with so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
So online, my website is sarahsook.com. And then on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Sarah Hedy Suk, which is spelled SarahHaelisuk. So you can find me there, drop me a comment, leave me a message, and we can send each other emojis.
I love this, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast.
For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.